Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Unisys Corporation webcast Strategic Overview of U.S. Federal Business. All participants will be in listen-only mode. You may submit online questions at any time today using the window on the webcast, and please note that today's event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Joseph Vafi at Loop Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Joe Vafi, Computer Services Analyst over at Loop Capital. Happy to be moderating this call today, being hosted by Unisys to do a little bit deeper dive into their business with the federal government. We'll be discussing trends and opportunities there. The business, this is a pretty significant business for Unisys at over $500 million a year in annual revenue. And so Unisys is a material player in this market. Happy to have with us from the company today Venkat Puva, who is the president of the federal business for Unisys, as well as Inder Singh, the company's chief financial officer, here with some prepared comments followed up by Q&A. And, when we're done with prepared comments, there will be more instructions on how to submit a question online. So with that, I will turn the call over to PV, president of the federal business for Unisys.
Joe, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the review, strategic overview of our U.S. federal business. I hope to provide you details of our work, positioning, and opportunities going forward today. Slide number two, just wanted, before I proceed with my presentation, I wanted to remind you of our standard disclaimer that is on your slide, the next slide, slide two for your review. Now, slide three, here's the agenda. Today's agenda is as follows. I'll discuss the budget, market dynamics, influencers, and key drivers of the federal government sector. I'll provide a mapping of Unisys Global Solution offerings and their relevance to the federal client. I'll highlight some mini case studies that will provide a sample of the excellent work we do for our clients and the significant impact of this work in achieving U.S. government's mission and national security priorities. I'll also give you a point of view on our positioning in the market, our differentiation as a global IT solution provider serving the U.S. federal clients. For the benefit of some of you that may not be as familiar with the U.S. federal sector, I'll provide a quick summary of the attributes that drive the government contracting, which could be hard to navigate if a company does not have experience like we do. Finally, I'll discuss opportunities we're pursuing that we believe align very well with the key IT priorities and the government's investments. Next, slide number four. Let me start with a quick overview of our U.S. federal business. This is a differentiated sector for Unisys and, quite honestly, a real bright spot for the company. Unisys is a very well-recognized brand in the federal market, and as a matter of fact, IDC, in their first-ever MarketScape of federal system integrators, rated Unisys as one of the four leaders. I'll provide additional color on this in a later slide. Unisys has been operating the federal market successfully for several decades, and we serve approximately 90 clients, and many of these relationships are very strong and form a basis for exceptional client satisfaction ratings on a consistent basis. Our talented team brings deep technology and domain expertise in various important disciplines ranging from cybersecurity to IT modernization to cloud to big data analytics to digital government services. Over the last few years, while our federal market peers have typically seen revenues decline organically, we had an organic revenue growth CAGR of a little over 3% from 2013 to 2016. Success within the U.S. federal is part of what gives us confidence that the vertical strategy the company is taking is the right approach for the company overall. U.S. federal, on the right-hand side, as you see, has been operating in a vertical industry go-to-market approach for a while, at least 6 years or so, 8 years or so. However, recently, we further enhanced that approach with investments in domain subject matter expertise as well as leverage of other Unisys vertical solution offerings. While we leverage commercial best practices for government clients, just as important, The U.S. Unisys U.S. Federal Unit also often acts as an incubator for new solutions for the company that we can deploy for our commercial use, especially in cyber, cloud, large-scale agile application development, and complex IT infrastructure consolidation programs, to name a few. Slide number 5, please. For those of you that are not familiar with the federal market, it is not as straightforward as many other markets, not just influenced by a typical supply-demand dynamics. Policy matters play a bigger role here, as well as other technology mandates that are legislated by law. As you see on this slide, a long and complex budget-making process is what the agencies have to go through. You see in here the expected IT budget that is requested by the administration is approximately $96 billion with a modest growth. As you may be aware, we're in a continuing resolution. That means we continue to spend at last year's level incrementally till December 8th, while Congress and White House hash out the specific details of the IT budget. President's budget request is to increase IT spending by modest amount. We'll have to see how the final agreement will be. We're expecting some growth in defense IT related to combat readiness, and many civilian agency IT spending is expected to be flat or decline. Exceptions for this may be in the DHS and VA agencies, where there's more spending expected to modernize their IT systems. Budget process is driven or sometimes constrained by legislative and executive branch IT policy initiatives, as you see in the middle. These range from the mandates that are defined in the National Defense Authorization Act to Modernization of Government Technology Act that is in the works, to several presidential executive orders ranging from cyber to a medical technology council. On the right-hand side of the slide is where what we believe are important demand drivers for the technology in the government to pursue in the near term and long term. I'll have more details of that in the later slide. The summary of this from a market dynamics, quite honestly, is that the complexity of the market can act as a barrier to entry, and we have the experience and very good track record of navigating this environment successfully. Slide 6. From a technology roadmap perspective, here is what we see. Current customer needs ranging from migration of infrastructure and application to secure cloud, modernization using agile and DevOps methodologies, advanced and predictive analytics, especially in the security and fraud and abuse context, cybersecurity, consolidation of IT infrastructure and networks, cost savings expected from operations and maintenance to fund modernization programs, to future needs on the right-hand side, where we believe securing Internet of Things with the data management would be key, as well as software-defined infrastructure and security to virtualize across and gain efficiencies in the infrastructure and provide more security as a result, to artificial intelligence, to at the bottom right-hand side, which we think is really important, identity intelligence, biometrics, and trusted tools that make up a key differentiator for the federal government in its ability to identify who the people are and their identity is using biometrics as a main method. What this means to us is this roadmap aligns very well to Unisys capabilities and areas of strength. Our deep deal pipeline is focused within our go-to-market approach. Along these lines, we'll continue to make investments aligned to current needs and ramping up in several areas. Slide number 7. Wanted to go over Unisys solutions and products at large on this slide. Slide number 7. This is the bigger picture of what Unisys offers in the market. What you see here on the top are our industry application products and industry solutions segmented by three sectors that we operate in: government, commercial, and financial services. And what you see here are industry application products and industry solutions. At the bottom, you see horizontal services and technology products. I've highlighted here in red are the solutions that we offer and go to market in the U.S. federal market. Within our industry solutions, justice, law enforcement, and border security solutions and software is a very big part of what we provide. And digital government, enabling infrastructures and systems and applications to provide digital service to citizens. And our industry-specific applications that are relevant to our three go-to-market sectors within the federal business, Homeland Security, defense, and civilian business. In the bottom, in the middle, you see horizontal services. We provide services for federal agencies ranging from security to digital transformation services, cloud implementations to application transformation services, modernization of mission-critical application to ClearPath for services and stealth. From a technology perspective, we provide ClearPath Forward technology, Unisys Stealth family, as well as our imaging and document management product, InfoImage. Going on to the next slide, slide number eight, I wanted to highlight some representative sample of exciting work we do for the U.S. federal government, and we're very proud of the innovations that we've been bringing to the market. As a matter of fact, Unisys is the first company in the federal market to successfully migrate large enterprise application workload to cloud for General Services Administration in 2010, and is the first company also to successfully migrate a very large and complex SAP-based financial systems to the cloud at the Department of Interior. You see on this slide on the left-hand side, we're highlighting some mini case studies. For example, at the IRS, Unisys implemented now owns and operates a very large secure private storage as a service cloud, which is pretty much consumed by every major function and application within the IRS to provide tax processing and all other functions. At the Department of Homeland Security's Customs and Border Protection, Unisys provides a comprehensive national security system, which I'll cover more in detail on the next slide. Also at the CBP, as you see in the middle, we integrated several technologies and deployed biometrics-based identification sensors, as now we're calling them IoT, at all major land border crossings along the northern and southern borders to secure and process passenger and cargo vehicles as well as pedestrians for both entry and exit. As articulated on the top right hand, Unisys operates what we believe is one of the world's largest service desks within a B2B space with over 1.4 million end users for the U.S. Army. The key to technology and business transformation for the Army has been leveraging of our commercial service desk capability under our differentiated software with Vantage Point and ITSM as a service, for example. Lastly, within our justice, law enforcement and border security solution space, we provide end-to-end application services and other processing for the Department of Justice to manage their asset forfeiture process dependent upon by federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies who manage approximately about $3 billion of assets annually. Slide number nine. This is more detail on our work that I mentioned at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. We believe we deploy one of the first and the largest big data analytics technology platforms in the government where we have to plan for a massive scale of 1.3 billion transactions and 60 billion queries a day. What happens here is that the government is looking to identify threats of about a million or so passengers that enter our country every year, as well as 70,000 containers of cargo. So it's pretty important work, and it is protecting the critical national security by keeping our borders safe. The impact this work has on the mission of the CBP and DHS is extremely important, as I mentioned, and we're supporting this mission around the clock, 24/7/365. To keep the bad guys with the dedication of our highly skilled team at Unisys that is able to react pretty fast and make modifications to systems algorithms in many cases in a day. slide number 10. As I mentioned earlier, Unisys has a long-term relationship with key agencies. As you see on this slide, there are several agencies where we have presence for more than three decades, such as the IRS, General Services Administration, Department of Treasury, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, and Defense Information Systems Agencies called DISA. These have been very, very important relationships where we've been able to perform work for critical mission areas. And this is something we're really proud of. For example, at NASA, we recently last year re-won a contract, eighth consecutive renewal in a row. That's for 40 years we have at this contract. The work that we do, the quality of people that we provide, and the relationship and the trust the agency, for example, has, results in this kind of track record. You see in the middle some of the key agencies that we do work with where we are there for several decades as well, Department of Agriculture, Department of Justice, Customs and Border Protection, Department of Homeland Security, et cetera. And within the military, all the services, three services, Navy, Air Force, and Army, Pentagon, and key commands like Transportation Commands. We, however, recently we've been able to add new logos, especially with our cloud and mobility offerings, and leveraging our commercial software at Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, Office of the Comptroller of Currency, where we recently deployed a cloud-based solution for their collaboration environment, and Federal Emergency Management, National Archives, as well as at NOAA. Next slide, please. So this slide, slide number 11, highlights a significant number of analyst placements that we have achieved as a company globally. And this is a big differentiator for the federal market, where we are bringing commercial solutions where, as you see in Nelson Hall, Forrester, IDC, Gartner, in Peak, et cetera, Unisys is a leader or a major player in several categories of the technologies and the services that we offer. We believe these credentials opens up a lot of doors, and in new logos, these become particularly important for them to recognize us by the leadership that we bring to the table and trust in the solutions that we're offering. I will double-click a little more on the IDC on the next slide, slide number 12. This is a report that IDC did last year for the first time ever of the federal system integrators that serve the federal market. And we're very happy to see Unisys as a leader as in the circle, one of the four. The bubbles represent the size. So what this means to us is we don't have to be the largest to be one of the leaders in creating major mission outcomes for the government. And one of the main reasons why we believe we're positioned there is because of our reputation of successful delivery. Unisys is known as a company that comes through its commitments and help agencies achieve their goals by introducing new technologies and business processes, but at the same time managing risk, because we have done it before in our commercial market, and we have done it before in a point of safe environment, and we have the engineering talent to be able to deliver hard things. As I mentioned, global commercial expertise was cited by IDC as very important to the federal market in security, cloud, agile at scale, DevOps, to be able to provide IT capability at a faster pace, and end user solutions to provide the capabilities to all end user devices. As I mentioned earlier, vertical domain expertise that we have, understanding the business processes, mission areas, allows us to focus our solutions to be not just for the sake of technology modernization, but achieve mission outcomes where we're able to help our clients really address key areas of pressure that they have to be able to make progress. One of the key differentiators that we believe we have is while we bring the capability of a very large global IT services provider, and as you saw from all the credentials, we're a very flat federal organization with a lot of authority given to our teams, we operate at the speed of small business. So we believe these were the factors that allowed us to be in a leader position that we're very proud of. Slide number 13 now. For some of you that are not familiar with the federal government contracting, I do want to take some time to kind of give a little bit more details of how does contracting work in government and how does Unisys make money. For some of you that are already very familiar with the federal market, I apologize, but I thought it would help some of our colleagues that are not familiar with these. So government procurements are heavily regulated under what is called a federal acquisition regulation rules. Pretty set defined in terms of the process. Several mandates and rules have to be applied with designated contracting officers that have authority to sign, that are under a severe oversight and could face criminal penalties if things don't go right. So the procurements tend to be take a lot longer life cycle. Typically, they can take 2 to 3 years. Government uses different types of contract types. So typically, contractors do not have a say in how you provide these contracts. There's something called a cost plus fee, where you're protected on your cost, but you're capped on fee. Time and materials, obviously the standard, or a firm fixed price. So typically, government contracting requires vendors to provide cost detail to be disclosed and audited. Unisys has a very good system that is audited at highest levels of satisfaction by the regulatory agency within DOD called DCAA. And what we're seeing is many agencies for large procurements that do not have specific requirements hashed out, prefer cost-plus contracts, which obviously cap margins for the vendors. However, we are able to operate in all these contract types with a level of efficiency as we are focused more on making the client happy so where they'll have flexibility in the future to change the contract types. The other big dynamic in the federal market is small business mandates. Agencies have to issue a portion of their procurements only to small businesses. They also require a specific percentage of the content in the large business or a full and open contracts to be delivered by small business by socioeconomic types. So one has to know how to navigate these. A lot of large businesses have been under pressure as recently, over the last few years, several of the contracts have been moved to the small business. So what we try to do is to do a good job, as I said, with our exceptional delivery, and articulate that we're going to make investments in the future of the technologies that small businesses are typically not able to do, and that is helpful. And the way the actual contracting is awarded is government can choose between typically two criteria. There are others: best value, where vendors differentiate with solution offerings, or low cost technically acceptable, or LPTA, low price technically acceptable approach. So vendors like Unisys that have a differentiation prefer best value, and we advocate for that. And in many cases, we do quite well when we bring our commercial solutions in the best value criteria. Majority of the contracts the government offers, on the other hand, tend to be longer term. Many are 5 years. However, we do have some 7, 8, or 10-year contracts, which tends to be one-off. However, because of the way the budget process works, these contracts are funded annually in what is called options. I have to say that those options are there for options. If they are satisfied with the performance, they'll exercise the options. Otherwise, they'll recompete early. Unisys has an excellent track record in going through all the options. And many cases, actually, they extend beyond the term that we have. As I said, we have been in the federal market for several decades. We have mature systems and processes, as well as major contract vehicles, which are required to compete for contracts pretty much across all the agencies. Now to slide 14. I'd like to kind of close by kind of summarizing the opportunities that we're well positioned for. As I mentioned, the civilian agencies are going to be under pressure with a lot of cost cutting and headcount cutting. We're not heavily exposed to those agencies, which tend to be policymaking agencies. UNIS is focused on operational delivery of services to citizens, and those agencies are not going through as major cuts. So we see increased spending in IT within DHS and Justice, Army, and Air Force as positive indicators of opportunities that are out there for us. As a leading market player with proven capabilities in cloud, agile development, IT modernization, service management, and end-user services, we believe, along with what I've shared with you, investments in key technology roadmap, we're going to continue to be a leading market players. Companies' investments, stealth, biometrics, and security solutions are quite important in the federal market. They align very well to key priorities within cybersecurity for several agencies and government policy. As I mentioned, biometric-based trusted identity is going to be key enabler of services within the government and from outside the government. And we have an excellent operational team within our federal business that focuses on a combination of a white glove service delivery and world-class satisfaction to deliver exceptional mission outcomes for our clients, and our client satisfaction numbers indicate that. So with that, Joe, I'll turn it over back to you.
Thanks, PV. I think we'll get ready here and start to put together a question and answer queue. So now I'll turn it back to the operator who can provide some details on that.
Thank you, sir. And as a reminder to everyone, you may submit online questions at any time using the window on the webcast.
Very good. So while those questions are queuing up, perhaps I'll go ahead and lob a couple questions of my own in. Wondering, PV, if you could give us a view of the some of the technology roadmaps you're seeing. I think in one of the slides you laid out, goals and objectives for implementing new technology. And to the extent you can compare and contrast what may be similar and what may be different in terms of government agency and departments' roadmaps versus what you potentially may see in private sector enterprises as they continue to modernize their infrastructures.
Joe, thank you for that question. At a macro level, the IT architectures and the technologies are pretty similar, except the size, scale, and complexity of what government deploys is much bigger, especially the Defense Department or Homeland Security or Veterans Administration or other large departments. Comparatively, security requirements are more rigorous, and agencies have to follow specific security laws, rules, and guidelines when designing and deploying these new systems and architectures. Deploying software-defined infrastructure where you're virtualizing each one of the towers makes it more complex, as one has to assure security and scalability. Agencies are moving towards more open source platforms, especially Linux, and deploying a lot of open source technologies that have security assured in them. You see a lot of difficulty in implementing the technology modernization because of the complexity, because of the choppy budget process. But nonetheless, it's pretty similar. And there are some agencies that are risk averse, so they don't embrace new technologies as much as private sector, where you have to compete or where you have to sustain your business. But nonetheless, the scale and size requires experience and expertise to help them, like with the companies like Unisys do have. Does that answer your question, Joe?
Yeah, that's helpful. I guess the natural follow-on is with the federal government, we've always seen, we've seen these organizations want to own their infrastructure, want to own their IT platforms, and now we have this new trend of third-party cloud-based services and hosting environments. And I was wondering what you think your clients and government clients are thinking about these platforms like AWS and Azure and their willingness and acceptance of these third-party platforms versus the owned infrastructure, which we've usually seen out of federal government.
So, Joe, it has been a mixed story in terms of agencies' ability in the past to be able to successfully adopt cloud technologies like AWS or Azure or Salesforce or ServiceNow or other cloud providers. But adopting cloud and internet-based technologies are very important for the agencies to be able to modernize their IT capabilities. But historically, they spend more than 70% of their budget dollars on maintaining the legacy infrastructure and legacy systems. So these allow them to reduce IT operational costs and so that they can invest money in new capabilities. Recent draft IT modernization report, which you may have seen from the White House, is mandating agencies to accelerate implementation of these. Very specific goals, very specific timelines. Obviously, it's not finalized. It's for public comment. We are commenting on it and working with industry organizations to make it better. And so that those will accelerate implementation. Coincidentally, recently Unisys did a market survey on IT modernization and agency executives. This is a statistically significant market survey of several agencies within all the market sectors that we serve. And what they indicated is cloud and internet technologies as two of their top three priorities, the other one being cybersecurity, as you would expect. What is interesting about that is also they have indicated that two-thirds of them are having unanticipated difficulties in adopting cloud technologies. So it ranges from anywhere from not planning properly. What we see most often is people haven't really thought about organizational change management, training, strategic communications, tactical communications, making sure that advocates that are helping advance these communications. These will be really important in going forward, especially, you know, there'll always be a budget constraint, especially in the civilian agencies where there are going to be drastic cuts. As well as in the DoD, which will probably use a combination of public and private cloud in a hybrid environment. So we believe in the end our track record of successfully migrating several enterprise cloud migrations that I touched on and several more, we're differentiated in the marketplace to help agencies achieve their cloud as well as create cloud-native microservices both within the Azure and AWS environments. Does that give additional details you were looking for, Joe?
Yep. Okay. That is helpful. And then maybe I'll ask one more, and then we'll get a read from what's coming in on the Q&A queue. I know you mentioned briefly some commentary on best value versus lowest cost technically acceptable. I was wondering if you could give us some trends there. I know a few years ago, the lowest cost technically acceptable was gaining some traction as I think the federal revenues and the budget were extremely constrained. But recently, we've heard more about Best Value making a comeback, and I was wondering what you're seeing in the marketplace.
We are seeing, as you said, pendulums swing back to slightly, though, not exactly moving away from these LPTAs to Best Value. I think it's a combination of more dollars available, but also agencies perhaps got burned with going with the lowest cost and not getting the quality of the service that they were looking for. And also, vendors have been aggressive to take somebody else's market share away with those pricing strategies. So we're seeing that pendulum back, but it is still a prevalent existing price pressure, especially in some parts of the DoD market. However, even in the best value, the range of how much you can, charge as a premium for best value has narrowed. The good news is that we're seeing more best value procurements than before, but that range is, they're not paying a whole lot of premium compared to what they used to do before these Budget Control Act. From a Unisys point of view, our goal is to build on our differentiation and find ways to reduce costs for the government through use of technology, use of shared services, use of our commercial business model, where we have some of these deployed in various regions to be able to support the U.S. military, for example. So the answer is pendulum is swinging back, but we would like to see that swing back more in the best value column, if that makes sense, sure.
That's great. Yep.
And Joe, it's Courtney. It looks like we do have a question from the web that we can take next, maybe. So it comes from Jamie Friedman at Susquehanna. And Jamie, thanks for your question. So Jamie asks, what do you typically see in terms of seasonality in your end markets? And how is the second half of 2017 shaping up for your practice? So obviously, we won't necessarily be able to give specifics on the second half in terms of guidance, but PV, I'll let you speak to some of the rest of the question there.
So on our the seasonalities with our tech business, and which I'll come back to in a minute, our services business is pretty steady quarter to quarter. It's a predictable, longer-term contracts mixed in with the projects. So we see good, steady buildup in general terms. And third quarter typically tends to be seasonally stronger than the fourth quarter because of the cost-plus contracts. You cannot charge for higher vacation times. But in general, our seasonality for services is not that much accentuated. As you know, with the technology, there is some seasonality involved in tech refreshes of the clients or new technology that you're implementing where you're selling enterprise software licenses, especially in our ClearPath or Stealth family products. So I would say that depends on the client set. Without going into the specifics, but federal business has been for the Unisys, as I mentioned, over the last 3 years has been growing. We expect that trend to continue this year. So we have to see exactly how much, depending on some of the budget dynamics that we talked about earlier. Thank you, Jamie, for that question.
And Joe, maybe we'll turn it back to you if you have one or two others for PV.
Sure. Yeah, I'll lob maybe one or maybe two more in. I know, PV, you mentioned that, ClearPath Forward, which for the benefit of people who may not know it as well, is a computer operating system. That's clearly part of your strategy here in the federal government, and that looks like it definitely differentiates you to a certain degree against perhaps some of the other players that were mentioned in the magic quadrant slide that you put up. I was wondering if you give us more color on where you're seeing ClearPath Forward as a differentiator for you, how it's being implemented, and perhaps some of the prospects moving forward for clear path forward in the federal government.
Thank you, Joe, for that question. So clear path forward is a relatively small segment of the federal market. However, this is what provides us the credentials and our experience in maintaining a very highly secure operating system and a highly reliable infrastructure that it provides is really the key here that we're leveraging as we take on large-scale IT modernizations, what the White House reports calls high-risk, high-value assets. So having that engineering heft, our ability to implement software in other contexts is more relevant perhaps than the ClearPath Forward itself. However, the ClearPath Forward technology also interoperates with Linux operating system and Windows operating system in a secure context. So that experience and that ecosystem for the agencies where we do have ClearPath, we're able to provide highly reliable, highly scalable systems in that ecosystem for some of our key agencies that I mentioned where I highlighted earlier. And stealth software and stealth whole security and everything that we go to market with is an important differentiator, as I mentioned earlier. Whether it is providing what we call a micro-segmentation where you can segment networks, data centers, users based on a community of interest with a cryptology that encrypts data in motion, essentially either in your own data center or in the cloud. And along with that, a platform, software platform called Cloud Management Platform helps us really bring a different architectural approach to our federal clients. We're able to give a roadmap in a software-defined, as I mentioned, software-defined infrastructure in a way that others, it'll be very hard for others to do because we have the elements of the architecture in the software pieces and the experience that comes in. So at the end of the day, while the government customer wants to move to a cloud or to move to an internet, they want to make sure it has a size, scale, and security while you're there. And we think that that's very helpful to have that technology product. It's very strategic, not necessarily, from a percentage of revenue in that sense, and it's very differentiating. Does that answer your question, Joe?
Sure, that's helpful, TV. And then just maybe I'll just finish off with one more, kind of taking it back to a high level. I know you mentioned the budgets were the overall budget environment doesn't look that attractive. You're expecting some down numbers across a lot of the federal agencies, which is somewhat in line with what we've seen the last couple of years. Yet the business has been able to gain share and show some growth. I was wondering, what do you think the few elements of your strategy are that are allowing you to grow and gain share in this kind of somewhat tough budgetary environment?
Thank you, Joe. That's an important question. Within the defense, IT spending on commodities is going to be under pressure. I think LPTA will probably stay there, but where we see more spending is going to be in combat readiness improvements. The Secretary of Defense has articulated as a priority for IT and cyber. We think we are well positioned in both those areas. We focus on combat logistics, transportation. Our experience in travel and transportation helps with combat logistics as well as other areas of focus there. Within cyber, we have a full portfolio of offerings as a company, starting from our products I mentioned, stealth and other products, partner products, managed services globally for security, as well as biometrics-based identity technologies that I mentioned. And that full portfolio of products and services that are really focused on the leading edge and is able to position us for helping government secure IoT sensor data, which is going to have implications of having to be cognizant of privacy requirements. So we think that's an important element as well. And our within the civilian spend, as I may have mentioned, agencies like EPA, Department of Labor, Department of Education, Department of State, et cetera, and other regulatory agencies are going to go through a drastic staff cuts and budget cuts ranging from somewhere from 17 to 32%. Primarily, we're not there, so we're not as much exposed to those. Out of the two main bright spots, if you may, within civilian, Department of Homeland Security, agencies within that, like CBP, TSA, and immigration, we're well positioned there. And as well as some law enforcement agencies within the civilian space are going to need more IT modernization dollars, which we expect they'll get. And that's an important element of our global strategy with our global justice law enforcement and border security. So overall, while the market, bigger market, is, you know, flat to, you know, steady, is we think we can focus, given our size, we're not exposed to those, we can focus on these bright spots and continue to look for opportunities for organic growth.
Great. Thanks, PV. I think with that question, we will end the webinar here. And thanks to both PV and Inder for being here on the phone. And I will turn it back over to the moderator to wrap up.
Thank you, sir. And the conference has now concluded. Thank you all for attending today's presentation, and you may now disconnect your lines.